Good morning, everyone. I just love, God is so kind that he lets me do this. I'm so grateful to the elders who make room and say, give us the opportunity to share what's on our heart. And so this morning I want to talk to you, and we're going to continue our series on cleanse. As you know, the last three Sundays, Mark showed us the necessity of cleansing spirit, soul, and body. That there are things in our lives, in our spirit, our soul, and our body that we need to fast from, that we need to step away from. And then there's things that are in our that we need to feed on. So we want to step away from the things that are not going to increase us in our walk with God, but then we want to feed on the things that are going to grow us in our walk with God. So I believe God has shown me something for this morning. And to be able to step away from the things that are not going to help us, and then to fully walk into the things that God has for us, there's one thing that is foundational and critical, and that is that we must know the love of Christ. So if you can turn with me, please, to Ephesians 3:14. And while you're turning there, I'm going to give you a little background on the Ephesian church. So the Ephesian church was founded by Paul. Paul planted the church. He spent 2-3 years there pouring into them, discipling them, mentoring them, wanting them to know what it means to be a church, wanting them to know the call of God on their lives. He loved this church passionately. And if you want to know how much he loved them, read Acts 20. It's the parting where he knows he's going and he will never see them again. And they know they won't see him again. And there's such a tenderness there. So he loves this church. And he knows that as a church, we're called to war. But before we can war, we have to be called to walk. And before we walk, we're called to stand. And Paul knows that it's so important that as a church, we know where we stand. If you don't stand for something, what do they say? You'll fall for anything. So we have to know where we stand. And so Paul, he's thinking, I'm sure now, he's in Rome, he's in prison. And where the letter from the Ephesians came from is this time he's imprisoned. And he's thinking, you know, poetic license. What can I give into them, pour into them as my time is running out? What's the one thing I want to make sure they have? You know, is he going to ask God to give them finance, give them favor, give them power for miracles? What's he going to ask them? And so he comes and he wants to get something deposited in them. And so this is how this is where we start from. He now has a prayer that he begins to recount, and it's known as one of the great apostolic prayers. So let's see what he says. First of all, he wants us to know how to position ourselves when we come to God. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named." Paul is demonstrating he's coming first to God. And how does he come? He doesn't come standing up, angry fist. He doesn't come, proudly. He comes in humility. He understands his position. He understands, he declares the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's declaring who this amazing God is. And then he comes and he positions himself humbly before him. But because he understands, he realizes that in order to stand, we must be willing to kneel. We must understand who our God is, and we come humbly before him. And when we come, so Paul now comes humbly before him, and he says that he would grant you. So he's letting us know that there's something now he wants for this church that he can't give them. There's something he wants for this church that he considers so important that they can't get for themselves. It's not going to come as a result of their good works. It's not going to come as a result of them doing for Jesus. But it's going to come as a result of God answering prayer. And this is how he begins, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit. It's not through you or through me or through them. It's through his spirit this happens. To be strengthened through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Paul understands that God wants our inner man to be powerful. We were not made to be a powerless people. But through the Holy Spirit, we are to be powerful in our inner man. And why do we need to be strengthened? Why do we need to be powerful in our inner man? Well, Paul explains that out. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See, we need to be powerful in our inner man so that Christ has a place to come and begin to dwell and inhabit and live through us. Because when he dwells in our heart through faith, something happens. Faith makes room for Jesus. Every time we believe God, in spite of circumstance, every time we stand on his word over feeling, every time we declare what he says to be true over what the world is saying, we walk in faith. And as we walk in faith, we increase the platform of Christ to live in us and work through us. So we must make room in faith for Jesus. And how many times did Jesus say, "O ye of little faith"? You see, that's not who we were called to be. We have a big God, and he calls us to have big faith. We sang about that this morning, that we want to have big faith. Paul wants, he's calling out to God on behalf of the church, on behalf of the Ephesians, on behalf of us. Say, God, that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. Strengthen them so that this faith can grow and be big, so it can carry who God is in them. Because once we are have faith, and our faith is growing, we become rooted and grounded in love. You see, it says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Didn't we sing about that this morning? Didn't we talk about that? That this love that Paul's talking about of God is so wide, it's high, it's deep, it's all-encompassing. And we know that love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a person. The word tells us God is love. So when you become rooted and grounded in love, you're becoming rooted and grounded in God. You're becoming rooted and grounded in his word. You must know who God is. And the first way you get to know who God is, one of the primary ways, is by reading the Bible. You know, every time I'm up here, I harp on it. You must read and study the Bible. You must take the word of God, put it into you so that it becomes a very part of the fabric and fiber of who you are in your spirit, who you are in your soul, and who you are in your body. That's how it gets rooted and grounded and into you. You must know God's word. When we know we are rooted, who we are rooted and grounded in, then we can comprehend the greatness of the love he has for us. We must know this God. Now, we want to have good roots, because good roots enable great revelation. When you're rooted and grounded, what happens? You know this love. You know the love of God, the width, the depth, the height, the length, the breadth of it. Now, roots, I'm a gardener. Roots in the natural, anything I have in my garden that grows, guess what? They've got roots. Because roots are how they get their life. Roots is how they get their nourishment. Roots is how they draw everything they need, comes up through their roots. Even the things that grow, those amazing orchids that grow on branches out of the ground, they have roots. And those roots pull up the life that they need. So you see, your roots must be grounded in God. Your roots must be grounded in love so you can pull up the nourishment. And then you get this revelation, oh my goodness, God's love really is that big, that wide, that long, that deep for me. And why does he want us to know and get a revelation of this love? Well, we go to the next verse. It says, because we have to be grounded in God's love. And now we get to the crux of the prayer, the thing that he's asking God to give the church, the thing that we all need more than anything else, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Why? That I may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, it's the love of Christ that we need to have in us. We have to be aware, not just here, but here. We have to know the love that passes knowledge. We have to know with our heart, not just with our head. Because you see, to know the love of Christ, we can say, oh, yes, I know God loves me. I know Jesus loves me. He died for me. I know that. But that's not going to really bring the transformation that we need. You see, we are a church, and you hear it always in what we say, that we connect people to God's word. We must be found on the word. But then we connect it to God's Spirit. Because without the Spirit, there's not the life that God wants to pour in. And so to know Christ with the knowledge that passes knowledge is when you connect his word with your experience. I'm sure each one of us can stand up and say, there was a time when I not only knew it here, but I experientially encountered the love of God in my life for me at a time when I was going through difficulty. At a time, Joanne can give a testimony for us that she experientially knew the love of God this past week, didn't you? That's right, because you see, she was asking for one thing, and later we see how he does more. But she was like, God, I need you to show up. I don't need to just know you love for me. I don't need to just know you provide for me. I don't want to just know it here. I actually need to experience you in my life as the God who provides for me, and I need you to do it now. And what happened? God showed up, and she experienced him not just here, but actually in a demonstrable way in her life. And that changes, because what changes us? Because when we encounter God, we cannot stay the same. So when we know with our hearts and not just our head, and we want to have this faith that is, we're strengthened, so we have this big faith, and we want to experience great roots so that we can have this great revelation. So God, Paul knows, he's talking to the church, oh my goodness, we look and we think, well, how can that happen? Sheesh, you know, this is a big prayer that he's praying. Like, I don't know if God can do this. So Paul's aware of this, so he wants to encourage them. And so he says to them now, remember who we're praying to here. Don't worry. I know this prayer sounds really big and you think, how could it happen? But remember now to him who is able to do, what does God do? The little is minuscule, the bare minimum for you that he could possibly do. No. He says to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What's the power that works in us? Well, we know that it says that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in us. So that's how it's going to happen. And we have this God who is a God of the abundance, this God who does exceedingly beyond what we can think or ask. The danger is that we try and limit our theology. We try and limit our God to our experience or the world's experience. So we try and take this big God who is incomprehensible and too big to fit into any box, and we try and reduce him to fit into our experience. And when we do that, we find that limited thinking causes shrinking. So we don't want to have limited thinking. We don't want to shrink our God. He's unshrinkable. We can try. He won't go for it. Joanne, if I can share, if you don't mind if I share a bit, she said when she was looking for this new job that God provided, it's okay, I'll stay at my salary that I had before. You know, money's not the most important thing for me. But you see, God had other plans. So they came back to her. And most businesses would say, oh, that's great, saves us money, more for me. We'll keep her right where she is. But they actually gave her more than she asked for. That's called not limiting God's thinking by a God who God is by our thinking. She maybe thought, well, I can't ask for too much because after all, I don't want it. God's like, no, honey, I don't deal in small. I deal in big. Don't limit me. And now what happens when God answers this prayer? Because you know that he does answer this prayer. It says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So you see, when we are strengthened in our inner man, and our inner man becomes powerful, we have faith making room for Jesus to work. We've got those good roots dug in so that we grasp the love of God, that we know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. We don't have this limited thinking, which is shrinking our God. What happens? We preach the gospel. Because you see, when you know this love that passes knowledge, how can you be silent? It tells us in Corinthians, it's the love of God which compels us. Are you finding it difficult to share the love of God? Then maybe it's time to let him fill you and reveal to you the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's time for a fresh infilling of who this God is, because the gospel glorifies God. And that's what we were created to do. We are created as a church to glorify him. And when we preach the gospel, when we declare this great love of this great God who gave Jesus Christ for us, that we would be redeemed forever and restored to his family, we cannot be silent. We preach it and he is glorified. And that's our ultimate goal. It's impossible to live the Christian life without the love of God. If you do not know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, if you are not experiencing a dynamic living relationship with Holy Spirit through this love, God will feel distant and you will feel powerless. But the good news is that's not who you are. That's not who Jesus died for you to be. That's why Paul prays this prayer. And we know, 1 John tells us, if we pray anything according to his will, we know that he has heard us. And if we know that he has heard us, then we know that we have what we have asked for. So we're going to keep it very short today, but I am going to ask you for a response. First, I want to ask, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, that no one's ever introduced you to him, that you maybe have heard of him, but you actually don't have relationship with him, the good news is that he wants more than anything to be in relationship with you. He considers you that valuable. He will do whatever it takes to become able to come into your life. That you maybe have thought, well, I haven't been looking for him. It doesn't matter. You see, he's always been looking for you. And we always like to ask if there's anyone here who would like to encounter Jesus, the Jesus who loves you enough to die for you. And if that's you today, I'm going to ask that you would put your hand up. Or if you have not been walking with Jesus and you say that I would like to walk again. And we just like to give opportunity in case there's someone here. Because Jesus died that people would come to know him. And God desires that all would come to repentance. Okay? And then secondly, if you're here today and you think, oh, you know what? I want that in my life. I want to be strengthened in my inner man. I want to have faith that makes room for Jesus. I want my roots to be good, and I want to get great revelation of God. I want to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. I want to know with my heart, not just with my head. I want to experience Jesus every day, 24/7, living for him. I don't want to have limited thinking. I don't want to shrink him. I want him to be as big in my life as he wants to be. And I want to preach the gospel to glorify him. If that's you, then I'm going to ask you actually do something, that we're going to respond. You know, we don't always have to take an action, but very often, if we're willing to make an action, it says something to God. And so I'm going to ask for those of you who are physically able to take the posture that Paul took, to come and to bow your knee before God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then together, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to take a bit of a paraphrase of the prayer that we just studied in Ephesians, and we're going to pray it together. We're going to pray it for ourselves, believing that God hears and that God answers. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seats. You can come to the front. You can stay and kneel where you are. If I know people have health reasons, so please don't feel any condemnation. It's not like this will make your prayer more powerful, but it's that you're just, from you, this is something you're doing with God. If you have physical limitations, please feel free to sit, to stand, whatever works best for you. But if you'd like to come forward and you'd like to bow and join me as we pray, we just give people a moment to come, those who'd like to come. Father, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that your heart is that we would know this love of God, which is so great for us. I thank you that you want us to encounter Jesus, not with our heads, but with our hearts, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, because you know that it will be this love that will compel us to do everything you ask of us. It is this love that will enable us to cleanse ourselves from the things that withhold us from you and keep us back from being all that you've called us to be. It is this love that will enable us to take up our cross and follow you. So God, we come this morning and our hearts united one with another. We pray to to you. We humble ourselves and we say, Father, would you reveal to me, and please pray with me. Look on this screen and would you pray with me? Father, reveal to me the unlimited riches of your glory and favor. Let your supernatural strength flood my innermost being with your divine might and power. Thank you that as I live by faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside me, and your love will become the very source and root of my life. Empower me that I would experience the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. Your endless love is beyond measurement. It transcends my understanding. Pour this extravagant love into me until I am filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. It is your mighty power at work in me that will accomplish all this. You will achieve infinitely more than my greatest request. You will go beyond my most unbelievable dream, and you will exceed my wildest imagination. Lord, you will outdo them all. Be glorified in me through your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you. And I would ask that this week, would you open your Bible every day, that you would thank him. See, we've prayed it now. We don't need to petition, pray from a place of petition anymore. Let us pray from a place of thanking and expectation. Let us expect to see in me, in you, this love expand and grow, that there would be a fresh revelation of who God is, the greatness of his love, and that we will be transformed, and we will find that we're outside, and all of a sudden, we just have to tell somebody about Jesus because he's so amazing and we're so in love. So would you do that? I'd encourage you very much, open your Bible and turn to Ephesians 3:14 and read that, thanking God for doing that in you and for doing it in our church, that our whole family here would fall so deeply in love, would know so deeply this love that passes knowledge. We would love each other so well that we would just like build all over it onto Kingston Road and down your neighborhood, and there would just be love flowing everywhere because you can't be able to contain it. It's so great and it's so big and it's so vast. And it'll be so exciting because that's what we were made to do.